Okay, I'm Chris Retz.
I'm Jack Mottman.
This is Three Blind Drinks. What's Three Blind Drinks about, Jack Mottman?
We're going to try three different whiskeys, blind, so we don't know what they are. So we're like blind people.
Yes.
Who can't see. Well, actually, we can see them.
Right.
We just don't know what they are.
So we're blind people in all of the senses except for the most important one, insofar as we can actually see right now. We're not actually blind.
Do you want to start over?
Maybe.
I don't. I love it. We're going to try three whiskeys. We don't know what they are. We're also going to get to know our very special guest, Danica Gollenbeck, who is an actor and a singer and an artist.
And an alien.
And an alien, and overall just kind of an incredible human being.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
Thanks for being here, Dan.
All right, so let's pour the first one.
Let's
do it. Which is labeled one.
Ooh. Ooh, fancy.
So we all have whiskey number one.
We do.
Whiskey number one has been poured. I haven't even put my nose up to it, and I can already kind of smell it. I'm already getting...
What do you smell?
Alcohol.
Okay. Okay.
That's strange. In-depth analysis. That's what you come to this podcast for, isn't it? This smells like alcohol.
This podcast is going to get old real quick. Every sip we take. From here, it smells like wine to me.
And oh, interesting.
Yeah, a little bit.
What's grabbing you like whiny about it?
More specifically, it smells like white wine.
Oh, weird.
I kind of know what you're talking about, but I can't explain.
It's like sweet.
Why.
So like I think
yeah, a little sweet.
Yeah, like that kind of not Chardonnay, but like maybe like a Pinot Grigio or something where you're like,
yeah.
Why is this so sweet and why am I drinking it?
Mm.
I mean, that's just me.
Oh, wait.
Are you getting floral at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay. Yeah, it's very light, very delightful.
I'm actually going to stick my nose into it now.
Okay. Good luck. Don't get lost. It smells.
Like alcohol, apparently.
As we discussed.
As discussed. This smells like alcohol.
Wow. And so for me, the whole wine thing just completely went away. And now it's kind of more whiskey-ish.
Whiskey-ish. Oh, the in-depth analysis from Chris Retz.
Am I getting like, okay, so what did we decide when I say brine? What do I mean?
I think you say brine because you're obsessed with the idea of whiskey tasting like brine. So you want it to taste like brine.
I want it to like come from an island.
Yeah.
I think is really what I want.
We had Talisker. Like when we like sat down to like figure out this podcast, I bought a bottle of Talisker and Chris is like, "Ooh, what's this?" And he's like never experienced anything like Talisker before in his life.
Correct.
So now he wants every whiskey to taste like Talisker, even though it doesn't.
Can't always get what you want, Chris.
Talisker is like, was for me, like that first rock band album that you listen to where you're like,
nice.
I didn't know music could be this way, you know? Like I sipped Talisker and I was like, I didn't know whiskey could do that interesting thing. Like, should we taste? Well, yeah, I feel like I don't know if we've come down on a sniffing note. We're saying fruity and floral.
Yeah, I'm still going with floral.
What kind of floral?
Very strong flower.
A very fragrant flower.
Yeah.
So Danica, what's your experience like with whiskey? How did you find whiskey or did it find you?
Whiskey found me.
Tell me more.
Well, unlike you, I'm not proud to say that I'm kind of proud. I started drinking it a little younger.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
3 years old.
3 years old. Oh, wonderful age.
She great needed times. To sleep.
Didn't even need to. I didn't make words yet. But I ended up, I think my first drink was really, really shitty vodka out of a plastic bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And every little gathering I had with my friends was just terrible, clear liquor. And then one day I came across whiskey and I was like, oh, this is something I can get down with. I actually enjoy drinking now.
Not a lot of strong floral notes in shitty vodka.
No, just a lot of regret.
This smells of
this smells of sadness.
So was it kind of your friends being like, hey, we got a drink? We're so just to be clear, you weren't three.
I was not, no.
You were how old?
Maybe 17, 18.
It seems like a totally reasonable age to me to start drinking.
Especially like any other country.
That's when I discovered
whiskey. Don't tell my kids, but.
No. Yeah, I won't.
I'm not scandalized. Yeah. And so was it your friends being like, okay, we're 17 now.
I think. No, I
mean. Now is the time.
When I started with the shitty vodka, that was about maybe 16. Whiskey came along at about 17 or 18. Somewhere in between. I was in college at the time.
Nice.
And I think I was playing card games. And so it was just.
Yes.
We were having pretzels and.
Yes.
And whiskey. And
are we talking poker?
No, because I can't do poker. I can't lie.
21.
What was that?
Blackjack?
No.
Okay.
I don't. There was this strange game called OG that I invented with a few friends.
Oh, wow. That's so cool.
Well, I didn't. It was invented and we took it.
I mean, that's what alcohol can do, right? Like it can inspire you to create new things.
Yeah.
Sure.
What are we getting here, folks? So after tasting, I personally am picking up way more floral
really?
Than I was before when we were just sniffing. And I don't want to say rose, but I feel like that's the most fragrant flower. So that's always the one I kind of navigate to the most.
I mean, it tastes like a bourbon to me. So like the classic bourbon notes are like caramel apple, cherry, oak.
Mm-hmm.
I found myself just, I was listening and I just started drinking and I didn't really think about it very much. It was easy.
Yeah, it's smooth.
Yeah.
Guys. It's not,
I like it, but it's not like changing my world. It's just, it's nice.
I hate to break out the A word yet again.
Is it assertive?
Nope.
Average?
Oh, it's approachable.
This here is an approachable whiskey, in my opinion.
The A word.
So we've talked a lot, both in the unaired episode that will never see the light of day and in our previous episode, which was the first ever, about how there's some whiskeys that are more assertive, maybe more interesting, maybe more unique and kind of get you thinking when you first taste them. Kind of like the Talisker where you taste it and you're like, oh, I didn't know whiskey could be this way, you know? So whatever I mean by approachable, I guess I mean not that, right?
Like, but still something draws you in, right?
Yeah.
It's still got that, like, I've heard it called like a background whiskey, like something you can drink. And it's not like grabbing your attention, but sure, I'll have more of
it's
that.
It's pleasant. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Totally. Totally agree. Danica, let's talk about parents.
I have them.
When you're out drinking crappy vodka with your friends,
where are my they parents? Like,
let's judge your parents for a moment, shall we? No. Are they like, that's cool, go out and do your thing? Or were they like, did you have to hide it? Or
I mean, I'm sure when I was 16, I didn't talk about it with them. I didn't say, I'm going to go out drinking underage. Bye.
Yeah.
it was just, I think we discussed it when I was about 18 or so. Because, I mean, I was introduced to wine at a very early age in my family because I'm Italian. So it was just something we had at dinner, you know.
It
wasn't a huge deal. My mom wouldn't prefer that I drink so much. Not because she judges me in any way. It's just that she's not a big drinker. My dad and I can appreciate a good whiskey.
Oh,
but he's
man.
A tequila guy, and I'm not a tequila gal.
Really?
No.
I did a tequila tasting once, and I was surprised to learn that tequila, the tequilas I was tasting tasted very different from one another.
Oh, yeah.
Which I was not expecting. I guess that's a bit naive. I probably should have assumed there could be a variety of flavors in tequila. But I was really like, tequila tasting? Really? Like, do you really need to compare two different kinds of tequila?
Well, I think I grew up thinking that all tequila was shitty vodka. Like, I just assumed it was sort of synonymous.
Yeah.
I didn't learn until like very recently that like there's like three or four different categories of like, there's like white tequila, there's like slightly aged tequila, and then there's like old tequila. Mm. And they all taste very different from each other.
I mean, tequila is what I drank at a club when I turned 21 in Seattle.
Okay.
That I don't remember. So tequila.
Is that what turned you off to it? Or
no, I didn't like it
beforehand,
yeah. But you know, it was my 21st. Drinks were kind of just being shoved in my face. And I said, okay, I'm grateful. Yeah. Thank you.
I'll take it. This is what you do, right?
Yeah.
So that's funny because was that your first time becoming so drunk that you didn't remember?
No, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, mine was with tequila. And it was actually not because, as I explained in a previous episode, because I was such a like obedient, non-rebellious child, I didn't really drink alcohol until I was in seminary as like a 25-year-old.
God, you make me feel so terrible about myself.
Why? No,
I just got all my yayas out very early because I went to college really early. Mm-hmm. So it was my time to just kind of go a little crazy. I didn't go too crazy though. After a couple of years, I was like, I'm gonna settle in at home with my cat. That was enough for me to just make my peace with it. Now I drink because I enjoy it, not because I'm, you know, sad.
I think that's great. So like, I don't know if I've disclosed this before on the pod, but I am the father of three girls.
Don't call it a pod.
On the podcast.
I like the pod.
On the...
You would.
On air. How about that?
I think it's like a pea pod.
Oh, yeah.
It's healthy.
No, we can call it pea pod. That's
fine. My bad. I left out the pea. But I'm the father of three girls.
Beautiful girls.
And sometimes when, like, I'm telling them not to do something, and I was just wagging my finger for those who are listening to. Don't you? Yeah. When I tell them not to do something and they're kind of giving me lip back and like telling me, you know, go F yourself basically in kid language, there's part of me that is like really mad, right? But there's part of me that's like, yeah, you go, girl.
Exactly.
Like, don't let a big, strong dude tell you what to do, you know?
Well, because you know you did the same thing at their age. So
yeah.
Full circle.
It's a very schizophrenic kind of situation.
Okay.
any more thoughts about what are we calling this guy, this person, this striped endeavor? We said striped because the bottle has been clothed in a kitchen towel that is very striped.
Sure. I do think, so we've also already established that I'm highly suggestible when I'm tasting whiskey. So if you,
in general,
if you mention something, I'm like, oh yeah, I agree with that. Maybe that ties into my childhood. Anyways, something about stripes.
Stripes.
And lines that continue on forever. I feel like this has some very distinct notes. Like a lot of times you drink whiskey and like one thing will start and then it'll like fade into something else and then it'll like twist into a new thing as it dissolves on your tongue. I feel like this one, it kind of just has a couple different things going on at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And then it's over.
Interesting. What do you think, Danica? What would you call it if you had to say that was the fill in the blank one?
Well, the way I tend to name inanimate objects or food and or drink tends to be with an actual name, like Amy, John.
Nice.
I personify it.
I like that.
So personify.
Before we personify. Oh, Amy. Okay.
Approachable Amy.
I like that. Before we personify, or maybe after, now that we've personified approachable Amy, just in my last little, so I have like a tiny little bead of whiskey left in my glass.
A bead.
And I was just sniffing it. And I totally got like a caramely apple thing
I get the apple.
All right.
And that, like, I think letting it sit in the glass opens it up too. Like you get a different, like after it's sat for like 10 minutes, it changes. Mm-hmm. A lot of like, I'll people will do tastings and they'll like document it on like Reddit or whatever.
Right.
And a lot of people will be like, sat in the glass for 10 minutes, then it changed, you know, and then they'll have this like long story about how it's all changed just because of time.
Yeah.
And it's sitting out.
Yeah.
So I think they change is all that was to say.
I feel like the strong alcohol, like when you first sniff it, you're like, whoa, yeah. Alcohol. And then as soon as, you know, you give it a few minutes, that kind of fades.
It mellows. Yeah. It mellows out.
And you've also drank a little, so that'll help. Like, you know, no, but not, but in a real way, like, I think if you have, like, if you haven't had any alcohol today, which I haven't.
Right.
I mean, we had a bowl of curry, which surely screwed me up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it, like, not having any alcohol, whatever you're going to taste first is going to be like, oh, hi.
There's alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Guys, what about Amy's apple?
Amy's apple. Amy's
that's I like good. It.
That's good.
All right.
Amy's apple.
Amy's apple it is. Done and done.
Are we ready for number two? I don't want to rush you.
Plus caramel.
You're just listing things now.
And horseradish.
No.
No.
No, not that last thing. Definitely not that last thing. Okay, so we have the second whiskey in front of us. Danica was just commenting on color. Yes. Danica, what's a...
Oh, wow.
It is quite yellow.
It's quite yellow. Yeah.
Like a new day.
Agreed. So it's kind of lighter overall, right?
Yeah. It's like... It's like significantly lighter. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like if the other one was the number one approachable Amy was, is that what we called it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, Amy's it was apple.
Amy's apple.
Approachable Amy's and apple caramel. And caramel. So many A's. But not horseradish.
If the second one has an A in the name, God, no, it's going to get so confusing.
We can't. We need to move
a B
on.
Or something.
Yeah.
This one is like, I mean, it's, I mean, you said sunshine, and I think that's exactly what it is. It like looks like sunshine.
Just about.
I want to say that the body is less. It's less dense, maybe. I guess I don't know what I'm saying when I say body.
It smells a lot more. It's got like a very, very high alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It stings.
Yeah.
It stings my nose.
Like.
So we've struggled for a couple of episodes now to come up with a more flattering descriptor than paint thinner. But that's one of the...
It's accurate.
Yeah, I think paint thinner is... To me, it's just like shorthand.
Paint thinner that you'd want to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. More than you normally want to drink paint thinner. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you do.
All right, so we have some sipping taking place.
Shouldn't have done that.
And some slurping.
My throat.
After the first, like, we finished, I edited the first episode, and we had a lot of, like, long pauses because we were both sipping at the same time. Yeah. Chris is like, I think we need more sipping noises.
Gurgling.
Like, I don't think people want to hear that.
I would. Okay. I do.
I think I could be wrong.
On a regular basis.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry to interject.
What are you, oh my gosh.
The mouthfeel on this bad boy.
Exquisite mouthfeel.
It's totally different.
It like lingers.
Yeah.
This sticks around for me.
God, I love the term mouthfeel.
Mm-hmm.
It's just beautiful.
I would definitely say higher alcohol content. Like I'm definitely getting the...
Yeah, it's got a stinginess to it.
I think the technical term for it is... That's what I want to say.
How do you spell that, Chris?
It starts with a P, I think. I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
So definitely higher alcohol content. The mouthfeel is totally weird. Like it's velvety.
Mm.
And it feels thinner, but I agree. Like the taste, I don't know if the taste lasts longer, but it's a little bit more interesting, maybe a little bit more complex.
It's really bright.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm stuck on sunshine.
I love it. Sunshine and brightness.
Sunshine.
Danica, what do you mean when you say bright?
The slightest bit citrusy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Totally lifts that soft palate, man.
This is like when you're on your orange farm in Florida. Sorry, that's a terrible.
You can't make an inside joke with like
That's true.
First of all, an episode we're not going to air. And second of all, Tanika has no idea what you're talking about.
But I'm just laughing anyway.
Oh, man. I'm going to just, all that needs to happen is 18 episodes from now, I'm going to need to be joking about various fruit farms.
Yeah.
And then
first it was peach trees and now it's orange groves.
What kind of fruit farm are you on here, Chris? Danica.
Yes.
I have an obtuse question for you.
Go for it.
Ooh. What is it about going out for a drink with your dad? Or is there anything to it? Let me preface this by saying it seems to be such a thing. I don't know if it's like a father-son thing, but I don't think so. About like kind of going out and sharing an alcoholic.
Well, I'm essentially the third son in my family.
Okay.
So right. I guess it's a father-son deal. I keep getting texts from my mom and dad like, son, where'd you go? And I was like, wrong son. That happens every other day.
Oh, that's funny.
But no, I think personally, like, it was a great way for me to kind of just bond with my dad. I moved back home for a year before moving out here to Los Angeles after I was done with college to save up some money before making the move out here. And I was able to spend a lot of time with my dad that I previously hadn't been able to. And every day that I'd come home from work, we would just sit and chat in the kitchen, pour a shot, and just sip on it and talk about whatever. And it ended up lasting a good 2 hours. So we'd have just this nice portion of the day that was, you know, set in place for us to just discuss whatever.
I love it.
And argue. That's but great. Mostly discuss. That was only when we got into politics.
Yes. So I was going to ask.
I think that's every family.
Sure. Sure.
So that's why we don't talk about it anymore.
I mean, my assumption is that he's, just based off of what I know about you, he's a little bit more conservative. You're a little bit more liberal. Is like that the
split?
A little bit. Okay.
A little bit, but cool. That's, it's no biggie.
Yeah. Well, of course. He's your dad and you guys are sharing drinks together. Yeah. So
he's pretty important. Chill. The way I describe my dad to people is always, my dad is essentially a Jeff Bridges from The Big Lebowski.
As what? The dude. Oh my gosh.
To the detail. One of my first memories of him is in a robe when we went to get milk at the little store down the street. It's the opening scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my father.
Did he like do the thing where he opens the carton and sniff it before deciding if he wants to
purchase
it? I
don't know that he went that far, but he did write a check.
For 89 cents?
Just about. I mean, it might have been a dollar, but no, he did write a check.
Oh, man.
And he had his sunglasses, his, you know, hair about my length. That's pretty shaggy.
That's amazing.
I look like my dad right now.
Okay, cool. Without the bathrobe.
And
the checkbook.
I need to get a bathrobe. Everybody in my family has a bathrobe but me. It's like a Gollumbeck thing. Uh-huh. And I've yet to catch up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
God damn it.
Maybe that'll be our thank you gift to you.
A robe?
For being on the PCast.
The Peapod.
The Peapod.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry, my bad.
I'm going to rename the show.
There's a podcast festival called the PCast Blast.
Oh. We're there.
Oh, God.
I'm going to take another sniff of this thing.
You're going to smell again? You're going to smell
and
twice.
Waft it. Gently waft. Like
did you open your mouth, Chris?
Oh, I didn't. So Jack has this thing that he taught me. And it is that when you sniff, you should sniff with an open mouth.
And it'll give you more subtle flavors is what it's supposed to do.
For the folks at home, Danica is very animatedly open mouth sniffing.
Wide mouth.
Just snorting it.
Danica is French sniffing right now.
Getting real intimate with this whiskey.
This whiskey is strange to me because I think it kind of is off-putting in its smell, but I really like its taste.
Mm.
That turpentine sort of paint thinner thing mm-hmm. is all I get out of the nose.
It's very alcohol forward, it seems.
And then in the taste, it like sticks around and it like, it's kind of interesting.
Super crazy. So Jack, you said that you thought the last one was a bourbon
mm-hmm.
and I noticed you've said no such thing about this. When you say that, like what things are you picking up on where you're like, oh, that's a bourbon.
So bourbon is 51% corn.
Mm-hmm.
And so often it's sweeter.
Got it.
I mean, you can definitely have sweet scotches and definitely can have sweet Irish whiskey, but I feel like bourbon has its own character, and it is those sort of classic tasting notes like caramel and candied apple and like oak. Because it's aged in new oak, you get a lot more of that. Chris has infected my brain. Assertive wood.
Assertive.
And just like more prevalent in the tasting and the smell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And cool. This, I think, I'm guessing is a scotch. I don't know. It's unlike anything we've had so far on the Peapod.
Yeah, I would agree. So like this is, to me, like the last one, it was, I guess comforting is a good word, but it was the type of thing where you were like, oh, I'm going to drink some whiskey. And it kind of like, it almost like lulled me to sleep.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was a little more mellow. This is,
yeah.
This kind of wakes me up.
Yeah.
Right. Which is weird because we're talking about like brightness. We're talking about like sunshine. I'm talking about Florida. I probably shouldn't be.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say this is a scotch, you know, probably. I also, as soon as I said Irish, I thought maybe it's an Irish, like maybe it's like Jameson or something, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It definitely has a, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but it definitely has like that alcohol forward thing going on.
Yeah. So like the smell is very difficult to apprehend in my opinion. Even now, after we've given it a chance to like kind of open up a little bit, it is, it's difficult to discern anything more subtle than just like the alcohol part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. The taste is like a little bit bright and crisp and citrusy.
Yeah.
Are we approaching a name?
Ooh.
Sunshine. State.
Sunshine State. That's funny, and I like it.
I think we should go with it.
All right.
And if it's a Chris name, then it'll like you'll add four more adjectives before we get to the next whiskey.
I'm actually like totally censoring myself right now, and that's probably for the best. It's probably
Sunshine State.
It's probably a sign I'm growing as a podcaster that I am censoring the eight other names I want to attach to this
thing. I want to hear them.
Danica, you're going to a bar. You're meeting with some friends. You can just like hang out.
Woo.
You're not going to like party. You're just going to chill and have a conversation.
Fine.
What is your drink of choice?
Usually a whiskey sour.
Whoa. Crazy. Why whiskey sour?
Because I like it. No, it's a simple drink that I enjoy.
Yeah. Do you like the sour? Like, obviously, you like the sourness.
I do like the sour taste.
Which kind of like, I mean, I guess the sweet and sour thing, like, that's definitely,
yeah,
like,
it's definitely a thing.
Sweet and sour sauces, like sour candies. Yeah. Like, yeah. That's my jam.
Totally.
Have you had the kind where they put an egg white in it?
I've done that. Yeah. I do. It makes it a little creamier.
Yeah.
And they like froth it a little bit.
Yeah. They have to shake it for, you know, a little bit longer, whatever.
That's
yeah.
good stuff. I like it. So the sour is hard for me, and it's weird because because I'm usually really attracted to like sweet and sour or just like intense flavors overall, you know? But yeah, like the sweet and sour thing is like, or the whiskey sour thing is like, it's difficult for me.
Well, what's your drink of choice?
Man. I mean, so I love beer.
I love a good beer.
I love beer. I feel a little uncouth, though.
Why?
Does anybody else feel a little uncouth when you, especially like
when
in the bar?
You order a beer at a bar?
Yeah, when you go to the bar scene, everybody's ordering like, you know, there's like a Manhattan going out and like a martini going out. And
I mean, for the most part, like my friends and I tend to just buy what is the cheapest item on the menu, which tends to be a beer most of the time. So,
and so worth it. Like
it's so worth it. It's fulfilling.
So hearty and rich.
Yeah.
It's like a meal.
It is so like a meal.
You know, it's just a meal replacement.
That's right.
Yeah. Just a beer.
Yeah, exactly.
We found the solution.
So my daughter is doing this project at school right now, which is about colonial America.
Okay.
And she learned that everyone in colonial times would often have a beer for breakfast.
That makes sense.
Because it has, like, besides the alcohol content, it has so much, just like other, you know, weedy fortitude in it. And so they would have a beer, like even the kids would like have a beer and then they would go out and work the fields.
How much of that is related to like the water being not great?
A lot.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
As far as my understanding.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So everybody was just a little bit buzzed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good times.
Which is why the colonial times were so fun.
You so know, they're fun. Famously known for being fun.
All those Puritans, they just rocked.
A bunch of ragers, the Puritans were.
Those crazy Puritans.
All right, so we have Amy's, what are we calling it again? Amy's apple? Yes.
Amy's apple and caramel.
And caramel, and not horseradish. Because it's too late for that
one.
The
longest title.
Yeah.
Oh, Chris.
And we have, I don't even remember anymore.
Sunshine State.
Oh, yeah. Sunshine State.
I really like the name of this one because it to me really exemplifies what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although a little off-putting as well, I would say. Like,
have you been to Florida?
So it's accurate.
I have. I have been to Florida, and I totally agree. I felt a little.
No knock on Florida. I vacationed in Florida this year for Disney World,
and?
But yes. It's. I don't know that I would go back on purpose, like
sure.
Like as a destination. Like obviously Disney World is cool. But
no, I wouldn't visit Florida just for Florida.
Right.
I go there specifically for Disney World.
Right, exactly.
Danica, you're a Disney fan.
I'm a Disney World fan.
You're a Disney World fan.
I noticed you said that earlier before we started. You specifically said world.
Because Disneyland is not the same.
Okay.
Disney right. World is a whole different story.
I think we know what we're going to talk about during whiskey number three.
That's a hot take from a West Coast child. So Danica grew up in Oregon, right?
I did.
And at least on your father's side, your family is from California.
Yeah.
And yet...
Chris, giving the bio, not asking any questions. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're great, right?
Oh, thank you.
And yet, Disney World over Disneyland.
Oh, totally. Any day.
Wow. I've never been, so I can't say anything about it.
Oh, boy. Do I have things to tell you?
Field trip.
Really expensive field trip.
How did you guys end up here? It's a long story.
Six whiskeys later.
We were drinking whiskey.
Started with very small pours. They got much larger.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. You guys want to go on to whiskey number three?
I'm down.
Are you ready?
I'm all for it. I have I want to ask one more question about whiskey.
Okay.
What would you say is the most striking difference between the whiskey we just had and the whiskey we tasted first?
I like one and not the other.
Yeah.
No, I prefer the first one. It was a little more mellow.
Yeah.
It's easier to do, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. A good sipping whiskey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. A sipping whiskey. And the second one is like, I want to get plastered whiskey.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Like that's the kind of whiskey that I drink at a club.
You need to have that whiskey.
It's a power whiskey.
Yeah.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think I know what it is.
It's like the 24-hour energy of whiskeys.
Are we going to have a prognostication right now?
I know what it is.
What?
Right.
Because, so I felt the bottle.
Okay.
It's Bushmills.
Oh.
I don't know what that means.
So.
Bushmills is an Irish whiskey. It's got a square bottle.
Mm-hmm.
That bottle is square.
Uh-oh.
And it doesn't have a cork. It's a screw top, which says something about the quality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going on record. That's
okay.
What I think it is.
Bushmills, he's guessing. We'll see. We'll see what happens. You heard it here first.
And
all right, welcome back to Disney World Talk.
What the podcast is really about.
I just went to Disney World, so like I have a lot of opinions.
When did you go?
We went for Food and Wine. Oh, so we were there when it was like crazy.
What month is that? I don't remember.
Beginning of November. Late
okay.
October,
yeah, I'm
November.
Going in October.
Yeah, it's great.
Super excited. I haven't
we
been
went in... on Halloween, so we got to go to Mickey's Halloween party.
Oh, fun.
It was amazing.
Hell yeah. No, I haven't been in about almost 4 years now, so I'm going to go with my family.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's really cool. Need a vacation. So
it'll... Yeah. That's my first time. I mean, I went when I was a kid, like probably six or something. So yeah. I didn't really remember much other than jumping on the bed in the hotel room, which, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't count.
That's pretty great, though.
Yeah. I went as like a full grown adult and it was great. I loved it.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Epcot is amazing because you can drink. And then for Food and Wine, you get like a passport and it has like every country in it. And you can like put your stickers on every country that you've gone to and everything that you've tasted and tried. And it's really fun.
It's really authentic. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody in each pavilion is from that different country.
Yeah, so it's like an internship program. No way. So you'll get like kids from Switzerland or whatever.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah. I did not
know
that.
It's really fun.
Does Epcot stand for something?
Probably.
Okay, cool.
I thought Danica would know.
Everyone.
No.
Everyone podcast can.
I poured myself way too much. Like oxen. I've been trying to pour
Give
really.
Me some.
You want some?
Just pour. Wee. Yay.
This
okay,
one smells
so
good.
While Jack was pouring.
This is a little more golden. Mm.
Yeah, and I have a thing that I want to say, but I don't want to prejudice anyone. But yeah, it is a little bit more golden than the last one. I don't think it's as golden as the first one, right? Like, it still seems a little bit
No,
lighter.
I think the first one is definitely more like reddish.
Auburn.
It was Auburn, yeah.
Yeah, it was a little more caramely looking.
Yeah.
It was rich.
Yeah.
Mm. This is very faint.
This one smells a lot better to me than number two. Just, it may... Danica.
Potty brain.
My bad.
I grew up with boys. Can you tell? Sorry.
It smells better than both number two.
And number one.
And number two.
Whee!
But yeah.
It definitely does.
It has less of that like super strong alcohol scent in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like whatever number two is, it was like not necessarily a young, like I'm not saying they're the same whiskey or even the same distillery, but they feel like in the same vein, like where they're connected and this one's just a little bit more mature. Like it feels similar to me, but it's got like, it's aged longer or something. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm definitely getting the notes of caramel. Like it's
Yeah.
So, okay. Here's what I was going to say. Brown sugar.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like some sort of deep. I get that. Which is like pretty close to caramel, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think caramel is just brown sugar and butter.
Yeah. Plus heat.
Plus heat.
Right.
Yes. So. Gotta have that heat.
What do you guys think about the taste?
I tasted it. I like it. I mean, I say this every time. I like it. It's more on the bourbon spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is bourbon. It might be bourbon. I have no idea. I don't know why I care.
Yeah.
I don't know why I say anything. I should just give up.
That's it. I'm done. This is the last Peapod.
You guys are on your own. I actually like this one a lot. It's, I would say, smoother. And it does this really interesting thing that is going to be very difficult to describe on a Peapod. And that is that it...
I love that you've taken to Peapod. Can I just say that?
I want to say it goes like this.
Roller coaster. Oh, okay. So what Chris just described is if you've ever been to Knott's Berry Farm, there's this roller coaster. I think it's called like Tidal Wave or Waving Your Hands or something like that. It has water in the title. And you stand up, but you're also like, you're held down by your shoulders because the tip at the top is so steep that like they don't want you to fly out like head first.
Oh my gosh.
And so, like, it's like this crazy incline and then, like, straight down.
That's terrifying.
And That's what Chris just described with his hand motions on this audio program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it feels like a nice balance between the last two that we've had.
Yeah. It's almost like you mix them together and we have number three.
It's not
three.
Overwhelming like yeah. number two was.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, can we talk about story for a minute here? About the mechanics of story and about how every
story... Oh, I thought
story,
you were going to talk about like the story of this whiskey.
I am. But, it's almost as if we've experienced three acts. Like you have thesis, which is number one.
Yeah.
And then you have...
Call her by her name.
And then you... I'm sorry,
great
yes.
movie.
My bad. Apologies to Amy's apple with caramel and not horseradish. Maybe that's an acronym we could. Anyways, so if Amy's apple is like the thesis, and sunshine is the antithesis,
so you might call it like the antithesis.
The antithesis.
The antithesis.
Guys, I'm being so brilliant right now. This is like the synthesis.
Oh.
Well put.
Do you ever think about maybe writing for a living?
This is, I have before, yeah. this is like the third act of the film.
I was all, like, I thought you were going to go, what is it? You know, I'm talking wrongly because I'm with Chris, who's a screenwriter. Mm. But like, aren't like by page 17, you're supposed to have like a mini dilemma.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like number two, sorry, the sunshine state is the mini dilemma. It's like, you kind of go down this path and you're like, no, that's all wrong. Yeah.
What have we done?
And then you jump in and number three is like, I'm in, like, let's go. This is happening.
You arrive at a place where you're stronger than you ever would have been if there had never been any conflict.
Right, exactly.
If number two had never happened. Oh, we're children.
We're children drinking.
While Jack was pouring number three, I thought of a brilliant question, which is... to ask on a whiskey podcast. So Danica has told us that she would drink with her father. First question, what did he pour you?
That was a while ago. I can't really remember.
Okay, so
probably
moving on.
Probably a Maker's Mark.
No, okay, yeah.
Or a Bullet. We had Bullet often.
I really like Bullet. I think
Bullet's my go-to.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Yeah, that was going to be my next question, yeah. Is like, what is... And it's Bullet Rye.
Yes.
What's distinctive about a rye, again? Can we remind the one of us who doesn't know?
Well, it's like, I'm not positive on this one. I think it's more rye. I think it's like 51% rye. That doesn't sound right.
Mm.
But I think it's more rye than it is. So it's like less than 51% corn.
Mm.
So it's like, you know.
Is it possible? Rye. Is it possible to make like overall flavor generalizations about rye?
Ryes generally people think are spicier.
Okay.
So they'll kind of like hit you in the face a little bit more.
Cool.
Although if you're in Canada, rye means something completely different. Like the rules are completely different in Canadian rye. So you can call almost anything a rye in Canada, as I understand it.
Hmm. Interesting. Cool.
Yeah. I'd say it's a little drier.
Yeah.
A little bit of a harsher taste.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Like,
but
I got
just
my,
by a little bit. It's a note.
Yeah.
Sure.
I got my dad turned on to rye, and he loves rye. He loved Bullet Rye. And then he's like, great, I'm going to go out to the store and get rye because I know what I like it. And he got like Maker's Rye or something. And Maker's Rye is like, Maker's Mark is super sweet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so like Maker's Rye is just like, super sweet rye. So he's like, I don't like this.
This is bullshit.
So when I went back, he was
what
like,
they done to rye?
You need to like tell me where to go because what this is like, I don't like this. I want something else.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I love it. So Jack, it sounds like you are teaching your father to drink. Like you're kind of teaching him the finer points.
So like Well, the house I grew up in, they drank. It wasn't a big deal. My dad drank beer quite a bit. They didn't drink hard liquor a lot, but they were part of this group of people called the International Supper Club. And every month they would go to someone's house and that person would cook from a different cuisine. So they would like do a 5-course meal from wherever. Like France was the easy one, but like after like 30 years of this, it got really interesting. Like they would do like Uganda or like places that you don't necessarily think of, like I want to eat the food of that place. So they got really creative and really interested in different cultures. But anytime they made something weird to them, they would go have to buy the ingredients. And that often meant buying alcohol that they didn't have in the house. So they had this whole cabinet that was really well stocked that they never used because they just didn't drink like spirits at all, except for when they're cooking for these things. So they'd be like, oh, we're going to cook from, you know, the former Yugoslavia. We need to go get like really interesting vodka. And so they'd have these amazing, interesting vodkas that were not out of cheap plastic containers. And they would just be inhabiting this cupboard that they never opened.
Awesome. That's great.
So I guess I am teaching them a little bit to drink. I don't know. My granddaddy drank.
Not to buy alcohol, but to actually drink it.
Yeah, to actually drink it.
Yeah, that's good. Try this on for size, guys. Now, I this is not the first time this has happened doing one of these tastings where I have finished my whiskey, which in itself might be a sign. Like I feel like I kind of downed this one pretty quick.
Yeah, you did.
As opposed to the last one, which may mean that it's a little bit easier drinking, you know. But now that it's gone, I'm sniffing like the empty glass, and I feel like I'm picking up some different things that I didn't pick up before.
What are you getting? Like what's
so? I'm tempted to say cedar.
Okay.
Which I think we've firmly established may mean oak.
Yeah.
Right? As if I know the difference between the smell of cedar and the smell of oak.
I get wood.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm getting wood.
Yeah.
It's driftwood. But yeah, some sort of like oaky, cedary, woody sensation. Yeah. Thoughts on that?
I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Cool.
The same thing we said about the first one when we were talking about like, we like thought it was a bourbon and it had all those sort of classic bourbon notes. Mm-hmm. When you were saying that this is the synthesis, that's kind of what I was hearing.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for sure.
It's like that oakiness, woodiness is merging in with this like assertive, whatever number two Sunshine State was.
Sunshine State. With no other monikers to follow it up. Are we in the mood to choose a favorite?
Ooh.
Danica, if you had to choose your favorite whiskey out of these three, which one would you choose?
I'd probably have to say this last one.
Okay.
I like that it's a nice blend between the first and the second.
Yeah, it's like the first was like super easy, super approachable. I almost forgot. I was like,
it was a little too easy.
Yeah, I almost
it's like
forgot.
I want to work when I drink my whiskey.
Yeah, I was like, I almost forgot I was drinking it. Almost, you know, I certainly forgot I was like tasting it and like you know, looking for, you know, any sort of like distinctive notes in it. I was just kind of going to town on it. And then the second one was like, whoa, like this is a little intense, you know, a little bit more difficult to get through. And I don't know, maybe it's like the sweet rye thing. But this one's like a kind of a cool combination of both. It takes like the sweetness and the approachability, but it slows you down a little bit. So we're sipping this one a little bit more.
Yeah. Cool. Do we want to name number three?
I want to give it like eight names.
I'm gonna tell it, Chris, you need to slow your roll.
You, Chris, it's possible you're going overboard with the names. Fair enough.
You're just like, every adjective that comes into my head needs to be said out loud.
So this is by far the woodiest whiskey I think we've had tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I would have called it Woody Allen, but there's a negative connotation to it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. We ran into that problem actually before, where it was like there was kind of this this abstract connection between I think it was Kaylee Highfield who was like, this reminds me of Poirot, which is like the Agatha Christie detective.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's pretty weird. But I think what it amounted to is like Agatha Christie and Poirot is like something for her that was like familiar and comforting.
Yeah.
And she was like, this whiskey is kind of familiar and comforting. But what you're saying is this is not the Woody Allen of whiskey.
This is not the Woody Allen of whiskeys. I just wanted to incorporate it. Wanted to incorporate wood into the conversation, into the name.
What about Woody Harrelson?
Oh.
Are there any negative connotations to Woody Harrelson?
I mean, I never know.
At this point in his career.
I think he had a pretty horrible Ask Me Anything where he refused to talk about anything except the movie in which he was supposed to be on there for.
Oh, is that the Reddit thing where you go on Reddit and
I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so he went on and he was like, I'm talking about, you know,
he was like there for some movie that no one's ever heard of and didn't do very well.
Spider-Man
and
6.
They kept asking him about things he didn't want to answer. And so he ended up bailing, I think.
Dang, dude. Danica, have you ever done, in your capacity as an actor, have you ever been in a situation where you've had to like answer questions for like an adoring audience or any sort of audience?
No, I've been in a good position, whereas I don't have to.
Aside from this Peapod.
Yeah, no.
You've never had to do that before.
Thank God.
And that it sounds like that's an opportunity you do not relish.
No, I don't. I'm so private. And
yeah.
Yeah, it was hard enough to honestly go to the screening and you know, be applauded and talked about. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, don't look at me. I'm a very private person, so I'm a little shy in that way.
We should say that Danica was in a movie I made recently, and she's absolutely brilliant. And I hope you get to see her in it sometime soon. But don't ask her any questions about it.
Yeah.
Shameless self-promotion.
Don't approach her.
Don't even look at me. In fact, I don't want to see a face.
It's my face up there. I'm the one being seen. That's great. No, I feel the same way. Like I have never been in a situation where like, people are like asking me, even at that screening we had like an opportunity to where it could have been like a Q&A style thing. And
I'm glad it was a lot more casual than that. It was more of a mingle and people would come up to you and just ask you questions. And it was one-on-one, not in front of an audience. You know, it was,
could not agree more.
It was more conversational and easy.
Yes.
I was relieved.
Yes. I'm kind of awed that by people who are able to just kind of go up there and like,
well, I think that also just comes with practice.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Of which I have very little. So. All right. So did we, I can't even remember. Woody Harrelson? Really?
That's it. I mean, I guess.
The name is Woody Harrelson. Really?
Really?
I guess. So the simplest name we have for any of the whiskeys is Sunshine State. We've got number one whiskey was Amy's apple and plus caramel without horseradish. Which is fitting because it didn't have that like spicy thing that the next one had.
True.
Yeah.
Sunshine State. And then the third is Woody Harrelson. Really? I guess.
Perfect.
All right. Done.
All right. We are calling Billy.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, Billy.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. How you guys enjoying the tasting this week?
It's been really fun. We really liked it.
So delicious.
You want to hear what we named them?
Yes.
All right. Number one, I'm going to let Chris tell you because it's ridiculous.
Hi, Billy. So we named number one Amy's Apple plus Caramel with no horseradish.
You know, if that makes sense.
It's a great name. Well done, Chris.
Number two, we've named...
The Sunshine State.
And number three, I have forgotten.
It was a Woody Harrelson. Really? I guess.
Correct.
And number one was the weird
thing. Yes. Number one at least had some flavors in it.
Yeah. Okay.
So what have we had?
Well, first, do you have any guesses as to what you had? Because there is a theme to what you had this week, not just in the naming of it.
Okay. Oh.
I called early that number two was Bushmills. So okay. I think that these are all Irish whiskeys. And because of the way they were packaged this week, I got to see more of the bottles. So, and because I am highly deductive and I have a like sense of things, I think that this is something about two bushes and one bird, or something about a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Because it's Bushmills. And then the other one is like rare. There's something Bushmills does that's also got Bush in the name. And I think the first one is Wild Turkey.
Boy, Jack, it's like Sherlock Holmes over here.
Wow.
That is remarkable.
Oh, it's called Black Bush. Black Bush, right?
Yes. Do me a favor. Take the Redbreast 12 in your hand.
Which one?
The Redbreast 12.
Okay.
So that's a $60 bottle of booze. That's one of the traditional good Irish whiskeys.
Mm. Okay.
So now left sitting on the table, you have Bushmills Original,
okay,
which is like a $20 bottle, okay, and it's 5 years in American oak.
Mm-hmm. Number three was
Bushmills Black Bush, which is 8 to 10 years and in sherry casks, okay, and it's about a $40 bottle.
Gotcha.
So you've got the $60 one in your hand, the $20 and the $40. Mm-hmm. So the bird in your hand is worth the two of the bush.
I see what you've done.
Wow, I love it.
What was the order of preference?
I think for me, it's a tie between one and three.
Yes.
With, I think, three edging out for the win.
Yeah. For me, it'd be three, then one, then two.
I think we're pretty agreed on that. I like three the best.
Yeah.
Interesting. So the order of preference, generally speaking, was 3-1-2.
Yes.
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so.
Interesting.
And I love Redbreast. Like, historically, I've had Redbreast and loved it. So this is kind of funny that it was not my favorite.
No, this speaks to my love of things in sherry casks.
Yes, it does. Yes.
Nice. Yeah, for sure. Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Billy.
Yes.
Dankeschön.
Always a pleasure.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon.
So, again, Redbreast was the first that we had. Just the straight Bushmills was the second, and the Black Bush was the third. Should we talk about the Infinity Bottle?
Yeah. What should we add to our Infinity Bottle?
Should we have a little splash first to kind of show off what's happening?
All right, so I'm just going to, as long as you guys don't mind some germs.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind, Danica.
I just drank a little, so you
can tell. Oh, wow, this feels hot today. And by hot, I mean alcohol heavy, alcohol forward.
Got it.
Just steamy.
It's really...
It's a sexy mixture.
Super sexy mixture.
Super sexy.
Wow. Wow, it just tastes so different than the three we had today.
Yeah, it does.
Right? Like, it's got that, like, kind of a little bit smoky. I think it's the thing I want to call briny. Yeah. Like, peaty type, just interesting, and, like, wrinkle there.
I think this would be great with a little bit of the Black Bush in it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and we like Black Bush a lot.
So. That's right.
Let's do it.
So, I mean, that's good to know that, again, like, Jack's been the evangelist about how you should not pay a ton of attention to the price of a whiskey as much as you should the taste of a whiskey. And at least in this little unofficial capacity, we all enjoyed the slightly cheaper Black Bush.
Yeah.
Even though we liked them both.
You want to try this?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So adding Black Bush to the Infinity bottle.
Yeah.
What did we do to it? Did we make it better?
I do think we did.
Cool.
It's becoming more and more sherry cask. It's becoming sweeter.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. The brininess or whatever, the Highland Scotchness of it is disappearing a little bit, which is from the Glenmorangie, which is where we started.
That made it a little bit more tolerable.
Yeah, agreed. It's more, dare I say, approachable now at this point. Oh, God.
Here we go.
I'm going to be using that term for infinity.
Hmm. What a bottle.
Mm-hmm. It's delicious. So I think that brings us to the section of the Peapod that I like to call Last Shots.
It's changed every time.
I was going to say, do you? Do you, though?
At one point, it was Last Call, and then it was final Glass. And then
Parting Glass.
Parting Glass.
Off of the Irish folk song.
Oh, I like Parting Glass.
So okay. We have another vote for Parting Glass.
All right.
So we'll call it the Parting Glass.
All right, so everyone pretend I didn't just say that.
Just start over.
And now we have... That brings us to a part of the show that I like to call the Parting Glass.
Brilliant.
So, Chris, what is your final thing you'd like to say today?
I would like to say, if you have a father that you can call and arrange a shot of whiskey with, you should go out and do that. That's my parting glass.
All right.
Jack?
Exorbitantly long pause. Like, even for me, that was a long pause. And I tend to have long pauses in my speech.
It was contemplative. I liked it.
I don't like, okay, I, yes, of course you should have a shot with your father. That's a good parting word, Chris. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I don't know if I want to build on that or go sideways from it.
And always remember to put pauses on your pauses.
Always pause before pausing.
I think my final word, I'm going to cut all that out because I'm editing the show, is price doesn't matter. Yeah. I've said it before, but I'm legitimately surprised at what I liked tonight. I really liked Black Bush. And I think a lot of this, I'm recognizing that we always like the third one. So it could also be just the order of having things, but I really did like it a lot. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that I like sherry cask. And I think that's interesting. That's cool. Not a short thing, but I've said my final thing.
I liked all that.
I did too.
Danica, do you have a final thing that you'd like to say?
Follow your dreams. Yes, actually, that's a good word of advice.
Okay.
No, that's all I have to say.
Follow your dreams. That's what Danica's currently doing.
It has nothing to do with whiskey.
It's even better.
Thankfully. All right. And I'll end as I have one other time. And that is to say drink slowly and get to know each other.